This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
7:46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Chilly Wednesday morning. It's going to get even colder as the day progresses, even colder tomorrow. But enjoy it, because come June or July, you could be longing for a day like this. Richard Nelson joins us now, Louisiana Secretary of Revenue. Talk about an amendment that's on the ballot on March 29th. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
I went to the Ballotpedia and saw Louisiana Amendment 2 and then went to the print-friendly version of it, and it said print 92 pages. And I said, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe let's just talk to Richard Nelson and see if he can give us an easier explanation of this. It can be complicated, can it not, Richard?
It's absolutely complicated, and that's one of the things we're trying to fix. Is Louisiana has one of the longest constitutions in the country. Mm-hmm. This amendment actually rewrites Article 7 of the Constitution, which is the revenue and taxation article, which is the longest article in our Constitution. And so the idea was to simplify it, I think, you know, leave the things that really need to be in there, you know, pull out anything that doesn't need to be in there, and really just, I'd say, modernize Louisiana's Constitution going forward.
So what does it put in? What does it take out?
Sure. So, I'd say the few major things that I think everybody cares about or will get impacted by. One is that it reduces the maximum rate of income tax that can be charged in the state. It sets it at 3.75, which is actually higher than our current rate. So it doesn't impact what your rate is. It just means the legislature can't go back in the future and raise rates above 3.75. It also doubles the standard deduction for seniors. So if you're over 65, you will basically get $25,000 tax-free every year if the amendment passes. It creates a kind of a barrier for special interests to get their own tax breaks. I mean, the problem, and one of the problems in Louisiana, is we're kind of addicted to handing out, you know, credits and exemptions and incentives. And so we tried to get away from that and make it so that it takes a two-thirds vote of the legislature to put these new kind of credits incentives. We really wanted to focus going forward on just lowering the rates for everybody, and that was the thought behind that. It also makes some changes to some of the constitutional funds. So we have about $2 billion in these educational funds in the Constitution, and they get about 3% interest. And so we said, well, if we pay off some of this teacher retirement debt, it helps the retired teachers, it helps the current teachers, it helps the education system, and it saves a lot of money because that money gets a lot better interest and a lot better return if you pay off that retirement debt. And so we make that $2 billion payment and then use that saves about $300 million a year to give the teachers a permanent pay raise. And so that part is in the Constitution as well. So there's a lot of things in there. We changed a lot of the, the little mechanisms and tweaks that have kind of been built up over time because amendment or Article 7 has been amended. I think about 80% of the amendments we vote on are to Article 7. And so we tried to slim it down a little bit so we don't have to amend it all the time. and then also kind of build us a foundation going forward that'll make the state better.
Let me take a break. We come back and let's talk about unintended consequences, if there could be any, and what is it that the opposition, what kind of opposition are you facing and what are they saying? And I'll give you a chance to counter that. Richard Nelson, our guest, Louisiana Secretary of Revenue. This is a complicated amendment. This, to me, is the ultimate test of do you trust the leaders in the state to do what is good for the state? Because I don't know that any of us has time to go through this or the knowledge, unless you put a board together to have everybody break it down into study groups and say, well, this could cause that, that could cause this, could this could lead to that. This, to me, is the ultimate assignation of trust. We'll pick it up. We come back, 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
7:55, 5 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Richard Nelson about the amendment that's coming up on March 29th. So a suit has been filed, right, about the ballot language, saying that the state law requires the ballot language to be simple, unbiased, concise, and easily understood. But some people are saying it's misleading. Talk about that, if you would, please, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the issue with the amendment is that it's obviously pretty, it's not just one thing that you're changing. You're really rewriting the whole Article 7. And so, you know, we picked the language to say, or the legislature wrote the language to say, you know, these are the, you know, these are the things that are most important to people and kind of give them notice of what it is. Of course, you can go online and you can read the whole amendment if you want to. Mm-hmm. As you said, it's almost 100 pages, so it's pretty substantial. So, I disagree that it's misleading. I think it says exactly what the, you know, it says the amendment does.
Let me get to some of the things in the suit. It says that HB 7 is retaining the exemption for religious organizations, but it is not. It is drastically narrowing the religious exemption.
So currently, there's a kind of a catch-all exemption in the property tax section of the Constitution, mm-hmm. and all of that actually remains law. It just comes out of the Constitution. Well, we created a new religious exemption to go along with the homestead exemption. So the homestead exemption stays in the Constitution 100%, and then we created a new religious exemption in the Constitution to cover, you know, churches and it's like churches and religious schools and you know, parsonages and kind of just basically all the religious facilities that you can think of. So that is an additional exemption that we created inside of the Constitution, and then we took most of the other exemptions besides the homestead exemption and took those out and left them in statute. So the idea was that, you know, these are things that get amended all the time, and we didn't want to leave it all in the Constitution to have to constantly get amended. And so we created a new religious exemption, that's true. But at the end of the day, even the old religious exemption is still in statute, and now it's going to require a 2/3 vote to change. So it really doesn't, it doesn't impact the law at all. It just creates an additional constitutional protection for a religious organization.
Is it based on beliefs of certain religions or not? I'm a little bit confused.
No, it's broad. It just says a religious, I think it's just a religious, you know, place of worship or something like that.
Another thing the suit says that it's going to modify operation of certain constitutional funds, but it's not modifying, says his suit, it's not modifying those funds. It's deleting them entirely.
Well, I mean, we do delete some of the funds entirely because some of them haven't got a deposit since like the 1970s or something like that, right? So we had like 25 constitutional funds. Some of them don't do anything. So we got rid of some of them. Some of them we moved to statute. Some we did just modify. So, I mean, it just changes the functions of a lot of those different funds. Like I was talking about those educational trust funds. We got rid of those educational trust funds. But what we did is make a $2 billion payment to the retirement debt for the teacher system.
Let me get this real quick because we only have a minute left. They talk about permanent teacher salary increase, no salary increase, only the extension of an existing stipend. No teacher will be paid any more than they currently are, and some teachers may be paid less. Thoughts?
They just don't understand how it works, I guess, is the best thing. It's like, so the legislature's been giving a temporary stipend, so they don't have that money, and we're giving them a permanent raise in the Constitution. And so... there is a difference between, you know, you here's a check and you get it one time versus every year you're going to get a permanent pay raise. So that's the difference, and the Constitution provides for that.
Thank you, Richard. I hope we have you on again between now and March 29th because it is a complicated amendment. We'll talk more as the time progresses. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Ronald Surpass, as we do every Wednesday morning, about crime, specifically about Mardi Gras coming up and how difficult is it going to be to manage Mardi Gras as a SEER 1 event.